I'd like to say it's a blessing already to be here, to hear the Word of God, and just to one of the signs that you know that you are where you need to be with God is that you love to hear the Word of God no matter who's speaking it. That's a sign that you love the Lord tonight, and I am privileged to be here. This is something that's been on my heart for a while as far as getting together with young people and older people alike and just really focusing on our generation. And I want to thank this church for putting this on, all the good meals the ladies have prepared, and the fellowship, the extracurricular activities, all the things you've done, it's been a blessing to be here. And I'm so thankful for what God is doing, and I'm thankful for what He's going to do tonight. And I just pray that God's Word will have its effect in our hearts. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. While you're turning to there, if you could ask God for one thing tonight, what would it be? If you could ask God for one thing tonight, what would it be? I want you to think about that just for a little while. I recall when I was about 2 years old, if there's one thing I could have asked for, it would have been a little step ladder that I could have climbed up on top of the cabinet and gotten into my mom's cooking. But instead, I tried to find another way, and you know what happened? I fell, and I have a scar on my eyebrow to prove it. I don't know if it's on this side or that side, but whenever I look at my driver's license, I'm reminded every time that I have a scar because I wasn't supposed to be there, and so I fell. I can remember when I was about 12 years old, my goal was, if I could have asked for anything, it would have been to be able to play in the NBA. That's a desire, and that was a dream of mine, that I could play in the NBA and that God would give me the talents as I dribbled the basketball up and back and down the driveway, and I would lower the goal down to about 6 foot so I could dunk it every single time, and I could pump up my ego. And so I thought that if I could get into the NBA, then that's something I would have asked. I remember when I was about 16, if there was something I could have asked for was, of course, everybody that's turned 16, you know what you want at that time, and that's probably a car. And the thing that I had on my mind at that time at 16, and forgive me, you Chevy lovers, but at that time, I wanted a Ford F-150 that had a flare side on it, and it was maroon. I saw it in the car lot every single time my mom and dad took me to town. That was something, if I could have asked for anything, I wanted that because I wanted to be the coolest person in school. And I thought the coolest person in school measured up to what kind of car that they drove. And I didn't know that it didn't matter about what kind of house you had and what kind of car you drove. That's what made you popular and all of that. I had all those lessons turned around wrong. I thought that people would like me because I had those things. You know what? I think we're still like that today. When I was in college, if I could have asked for one thing, and this was my goal, and I promise you, this is what I thought. As I went to college and got a degree in economics and finance, my goal and my desire was that by age 35, that I was going to be making six figures. That was my goal, and that was my dream. If I could have asked God for anything, that's what it would have been. But tonight, as we look into these scriptures, I want you to see there's one thing you need to ask God for. And it's not a car, it's not a house, it's not all of these other things that your friends are telling you that are cool. There's one thing you need to ask for, because as we account our days, as the Bible teaches us that we need to number our days, we need to realize that God is in control of every single day. There's one thing that we drastically need. We've heard the lessons this week about we need to know how to walk, and we don't want to get into situations that we can't get out of, and we don't want to be weighed down. But there's one thing I want us to look in these scriptures that we need to ask God for. Let's begin reading in verse 1. 2 Chronicles verse 1. And Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Solomon, we've heard him over and over again. We know him as the wisest man in the earth. But we see as God has raised up Solomon, he said his name is magnified above everybody else. And as we begin reading in these scriptures, we're going to find that God is going to ask him, he said, "What do you want from me, Solomon?" And he's going to give him a reply. But I want to remind you about one thing. You remember when we studied about Moses last night in the book of Deuteronomy? Well, God had raised up mighty leaders. He raised up Moses that led out 2 or 3 million people. And then as Moses died, do you remember what God was doing in the process of when Moses was preparing to go into the... Well, he wasn't able to go in the promised land, but God had made preparation for another young man named Joshua. And you know what he told Joshua? He said, "Be strong and be courageous, for I am with thee, saith the Lord." And he said, "This is one thing that you need to do. Meditate on the Word of God day and night, and you shall be prosperous." And he said, "I will go before you, and I will lead you, and I will take you." And so as we look and we get to this portion of Scripture tonight, we find that God had raised up Moses to deliver Egypt. And then He raised up Joshua after Moses had died. And he was there. He was strong and he was vigorous and he was ready. He was young and he was prepared and equipped because he had seen somebody else do it. He saw Moses lead the people. And so because he saw Moses, he was ready to lead the people. Now, after Joshua died, as you read in the book of Judges, you find that as Joshua died and as the elders died, that there came a generation that did not know God. And so God began raising up judges, one judge after another judge after another judge. And you know what happened? Every time they died, it said the people turned their backs on the Lord and they did evil in the sight of God. And we get at the end of the book of Judges and it says that everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And you know what? This is where we're at today. And this is where you're at as a church. And this is where you're at as young people. We are trained by the world that it's okay to do anything you want to do if it feels right, if it looks right, if it makes you feel good, if it makes you look good, then do it. But that's not the case. Amen. That's not what God calls us to do. Amen. Now, as we see that as God began raising up these people, Moses, in his wisdom that God had given him, he said that when it comes time for there to be a king, these are the marks that you need to look in him. And I want you to flip back with me to the book of Deuteronomy. This is where the reading of the second law. The second law was given to the new generation. So Moses was telling them, this is what you need to look for in a king. Because there were going to be kings that were going to be raised up after the book of Judges to lead the people, to unify the people, that God would establish a kingdom and He would establish peace and the people would rule and reign in that land. And so we read those qualifications in Deuteronomy 17 and 14. You might think these are not very important, but they're very, very vital because we're going to find that someone departed from these statutes that God had given them. Let's begin reading in verse 14. Said, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God gives thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are round about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose." So one of the requirements for being king was that God would choose him. "One from among thy brethren shalt thou set a king over thee." He had to be a Jew. "Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way." He told him, don't look back that way. "Neither shall he multiply wives unto himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and keep these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he be not turned aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." So God gives the rules for the king that was going to be ruling and reigning over Israel. And some of the things he said, don't multiply horses. That doesn't mean anything to us, but in those days it meant that if you had a lot of horses, it meant that you had a great military power. And what God was telling the king and whoever would be king, he said, you don't depend on the military strength that you can conjure up, but you depend on the power of prayer and that I am your God and that I will deliver you through all the things that happen in your life. Amen. He also told them, do not multiply wives. He said, it's not good for a man to have multiple wives. He said, one woman for one man and one woman for all time. That was the same thing in the Garden of Eden. And even though kings disobeyed that, it still didn't make it right. Amen. Now, as we also read in there, there's something very, very vital that I want you to see that for us, we're going to get on over to those verses in Chronicles, but something for us, the king must write the law of the Lord. He must write it down. You know why that? He had to take the scroll and he had to take time and he must write his own copy of the law. How many of us have taken in the books of the Bible they had at that time was just a very little, maybe Genesis and Exodus. I'm not really sure how many books of the Bible there were at that time when this was written, but they were required to take it and write it because as they wrote it, they could memorize it, they could get it in their mind and not only write it, not only have their own copy, but they were to listen to it and read it every single day of their life that they might fear the Lord. Amen. This is what kind of king that God was going to use to lead the children of Israel that was going to rule and reign over them. And we know that as the people began calling out for a king, God raised up Saul for a time. And we know the failures of Saul. And after that, he raised up David to be king. And we know the things that happened in David's life as well. And we get here in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. David has died. David has died, but you know what it said over in 1 Chronicles 22 and 5? This is what he had to say about his son. And this is what he says about us. I believe if God would look down on us today and my generation, because as Solomon, how old was Solomon in these scriptures? He was between 20 and 30 years old. And so this is what David is about to say about his son in 1 Chronicles 22 and 5. It said, and David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender or inexperienced. And the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Now, did you hear what David said about his own son? He said he was very young and he was very inexperienced. And you know the task that he had before him? He was to build the magnificent temple that God would place his name on and that the very presence of God would come and dwell with the people of God. Amen. Are you getting a picture of this? I want you to look at it in this way. God has seen us, and we know that we're young and that we're inexperienced in many ways. But you know what I'm telling you tonight? Whether you're 20 years old or 30 years old or 10 years old or 5 years old, God has got the greatest task before us in the face of the earth, and that is to build up His kingdom and to build up His church. And He said that I have all power in heaven and earth, and He said for us to go. Now that's you and me, young people. That's you and me in our generation and the older generation. I want to speak to you just older generation just for a minute. You know what? As Solomon was about to build that temple, you know what? Before Solomon did anything, David had prepared things before he had died. And you in an older generation, it is so vitally important that you are preparing things that the younger generation might be able to take up the plow and march on, because we're coming, we're storming behind you, and you have been blazing a trail, and you need to continue blazing the trail that God's name might be great among Hendersonville, among Indiana, among the United States, and all over the world. I'm telling you, God has a great purpose for all of us tonight. Amen. He wants to build His church. He wants to build His temple. But He's telling you, older generation, rise up. It's time tonight to stand up and be counted in God's army. You know, one of the greatest things that I do so often, I get passive in my role and I begin thinking that I don't have any talents. And I begin thinking, well, I'm just going to hide my talents and I'm going to bury them. But you know what? Jesus condemned the one that buried their talent. He said, bring that one that had 5 talents. He used it. He went out there and he made 5 more. And then there was another one that had 2 talents. I don't know how many talents you've got tonight, but God wants to use every single one of them. He wants to vitalize your life. He wants to, and some of you are asking yourself, why do I not have the vitality? Why do I not have the strength? Why do I not have the vigor and the excitement that I used to have? It's because you're sitting on your talents, and God is saying, rise up. Let's build God's church together. My Bible says the one that is like the toe and the one that's like the ear, the one that you don't even see, they're just as important and even sometimes more important than the very preacher that's standing behind this pulpit and trying to preach the gospel. Everybody in the body of Christ has a specific role. And if you're not fulfilling that role in the church, then you're letting somebody down and it's not being vibrant like God wants it to be.
Amen.
Now David was ready to prepare. He was ready to die. He had made many, many mistakes. You know what? A lot of us, as you get older, you begin thinking, well, I'm paralyzed by my mistakes that I made in the past. And you say, well, I can't offer much to God today. Little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
I've seen men here today that's been here for 13 hours serving the Lord. You may not think that's very much, but you go without them a few days. And you begin missing them, don't you?
That's right.
David prepared it for the next generation. We can talk about generation gaps, and I believe there are in the church. But we can't do anything about those except do our part and join hand in hand. Let's see what Solomon asked for. 2 Chronicles 20, chapter 1, verse 2. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and hundreds, and to the judges, and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, and he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings. You know what we see in Solomon? God blesses those who leads others close to Him.
Amen.
Solomon brought all these chief officers and he said, I'm not going to go up there by myself. I'm going to take all you around me. And you know what? People who have great influence, you better walk a tight ship. Because people are watching after you. They're looking at your lives. And they're seeing who are you leading them to.
Amen.
Are you leading them to the Lord? Are you leading them astray? Solomon had all these people and he brought them here. We also see the worth that he placed on God. Did he just offer one sacrifice? He had 1,000 sacrifices to lay out there on that brazen altar. And you know what? He had come because he realized the value of God. And he realized his great need of God because he had seen it in his dad. And he realized that I have got to seek Him for myself.
Amen.
You know what? There's one thing as we're young, we always want to do something by ourselves, don't we? We always want to build something. We always want to construct something. We always want to be the one to stay home by ourselves. We want to be out there driving down the road by ourselves. We want to be anything we do, it's always by ourselves. And I'm going to give you something you can do all by yourself. Get alone with God.
Amen.
Get in touch with God. Listen to Him. Ask Him what you need to do. As Solomon approach the Lord in reverence. Listen to what verse 7 says. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Isn't that amazing? God said to Solomon, a man, He said, what is it? What is it that you want from me? I'll give it to you. He said, ask what you want from me. As we're here tonight, there's one thing that we need. And that's what Solomon asked for. Let's read what he said. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let Thy promise unto David my father be established. For Thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this Thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, or wealth, or honor, nor life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before me, before thee. Neither shall there any other after thee have the like. Then Solomon came from his journey to the high place that was at Gibeon to Jerusalem, and before the tabernacle of the congregation, and reigned over there. Do you see what he asked for? He asked for wisdom. You know what wisdom is? As you think about in the dictionary, it says wisdom is having gained knowledge, understanding, experience, discretion, and intuitive understanding, along with the capacity to apply these qualities well. That's a pretty big definition. I don't get it either, really. But here's what I want to give you the definition of wisdom is. It's seeing things from God's perspective and living in that way.
Amen.
Seeing things from God's perspective and living in that way. We need to see God tonight. We need to see Him. You know what some of you are seeing tonight? I want to get a few things out. There's a few things that you're seeing tonight that you're totally way down. And you've got your eyes out of focus. Some of you see this right here. And you see this and you say, this is how I'm going to make my living. This is how I'm going to be popular. This is how I'm going to do all the things that I want to do in my life. What happens when you get to the top of the level? Or in my case, what happens when you get a broken wrist when you're a pitcher? Your right hand is broken and you have to get a screw in there and the doctor says you may never write again. What do you do at that point? I'm telling you this because I know this is what's standing in your way.
Amen.
This is what's standing in some of the parents' ways in this very church. This right here.
Amen.
We are more focused on this than we're serving the Most High God.
Amen.
One of these days, all the baseball gloves, the basketball courts, and all the things, they're all going to burn up and they're going to mean nothing.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, what matters is what we do for God. And we need to see it from God's perspective because this is what we're being ruled by. If you go on tomorrow morning and you look at the ball fields, the soccer fields, and you know what? I love sports more than anybody in here, I bet you. If you saw me playing volleyball and see how active I am, I love to play sports. And you can do it. Because you know what? This is nothing more than a tool. God gave me ability to play basketball that I could tell others about Jesus. That's the reason He gave me a talent. He might have given you the talent to sing. If you've got a songbook out there, He gave you that talent to sing. Not that you might go out there and make a name for yourself, but that you might lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That you might honor Him. That you might glorify Him. And that His name might be magnified, not your own name. We're not here to lift up our own name. Because one of these days we're going to be, it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, one generation comes and another goes, and it's just an endless cycle, but the earth is still here. We're going to pass away one day, and it's not going to matter about my name and your name. But it's going to matter about the name that we lifted up. Because there's only one name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Let's go to number two. Some of you might want to be a mechanic. You might want to fix things. You ask my wife, I can't fix too much. I don't have many of those talents. Some of you just want to get a job and make some money. You know, that's okay. That's good. This tool right here is good to allow you get a job that you can take care of your family, that you can lead them in the right way, and that you might be able to tell somebody else about it. I can't do that. But God can use you in this tool. I don't know what your talents are. We all have dreams and we need to have them, but we need to have God-sized dreams. And we need to ask God, what is it that you want me to do? Solomon was between 20 and 30 years old, and he had set him in a place that he was to be king over all of these people. That was his lot. I want you to ask God what he wants you to do. You know what I wanted to do as I grew up? This is a business portfolio for many of you. This is who I was coming out of college. This is what I was going to be. I was going to be that man by 35 years old that I was going to do all that I could do to make the $100,000. But you know what? I met the Lord Jesus. I met him on April the 7th of 2003 at 2:20 in the morning. And you know what he said about 4 months later? He said, you take that portfolio, you cast it aside, and you come and follow me and pick up the Word of God and preach the Word of God. This is your lot in life, and this is what I want you to do with all of your hearts. Amen. You don't worry about the riches of this world, but you worry about the things of me and that I am lifted up in your life. That's what he wanted. Some of you want to be doctors. That's great. Some of you want to do this. And I'm telling you, as you began following after the Lord, he's going to give you amazing knowledge and ability. You remember Daniel and his friends. They were exceedingly 10 times greater than everybody else because they feared God, and God had blessed them with wisdom, and he allowed them to go out and be raised up in that kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. A Gentile kingdom. You can use this stethoscope. If you're a nurse in here, you can use this. But don't let it use you.
Amen.
Don't let it use you. Don't let them tell you that I have to work every Sunday and I have to work every Wednesday. You take a stand and say, I'm using this as a tool to help people. But my main priority is worshiping and serving God.
Amen.
I've got a biology book here, and I've got a literature book here. Some of you might be a writer. Some of you might be scientists. But whatever the case might be, you need to have your eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
Many people are walking around this life like this right here. How far do you think I can go like this? How much do you think I can do for eternity and for the King of Kings with my eyes blinded? That's why we need wisdom.
Amen.
That's why we need God in our lives. He holds our future. He knows our tomorrow. It says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He knows exactly the plans he has for us. But I'm telling you, you can mess it all up very fast if you don't seek Him every day. You notice the things that Solomon didn't ask for? He said, he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for wealth. He said, we can't serve two masters. We can't serve God and money. If you're building your portfolio to bring security, that's good if you're taking care of your family. But if that's where all your security is, then one of these days it may be all gone. Because God wants to show you that He is the only security that you can have in this life.
Amen.
He's the only one. Riches and honor. Solomon didn't ask for honor. He didn't ask that his name would be great, did he? He asked for wisdom. This is the heart of every one of us. Why did he ask for wisdom? He said that I want wisdom that I might know how to serve other people. You know what Jesus said? The greatest of these are those who serve other people. Amen. Jesus came not to be ministered to, but to serve and to minister to everybody else. Amen. You know, as I've learned that God has placed us here to serve, then it doesn't hurt my feelings when things go bad. I'm just here to serve and to serve and to serve and to serve. And if nobody else wants to help me, God says, you go serve me wherever it's at. And sometimes it might get lonely. Sometimes it might get dreary. But praise be to God, the Master is right beside you.
Amen.
He tells us to go serve.
Amen.
There's one more thing that I want you to notice that He didn't ask for. This is one of the most important things, I believe. He said, God said, since you didn't ask for a long life, I'm going to give you wisdom. You know what? Tonight, I'd rather spend the next 10 years of my life, and I don't know how long I've got, but I'd rather spend the next 10 years of life with the hand of God on my life, moving through my life and empowering me to do the things of God, that the weight of eternity might be on them, than to sit in the pews of a church for 40 years and do nothing for God. I'd rather just spend 1 year preaching as hard as I can. As Richard Baxter said, I preach as a dying man preaching to dying men, and I'd rather stand on the promises and the power of God and His Word and die in the next year if I can do it every single day for the rest of this year, and then to be alive for another 50 years.
Amen.
God desires that we don't put off serving Him. He said He didn't ask for long life. You know what? Honestly, I don't know how long I've got. I don't know how long you got. But I'm telling you, as I think about Solomon, and as I think about David, and as I think about those men dying off, and I see Solomon there, he's standing in need of some help from the Lord. And you know where he turns? He doesn't turn everywhere else. He doesn't turn to all that he does later on. But he didn't at this time. I'm telling you, I know what the Lord can do in helping you. I had men in my life that I could look up to. Within 9 months, I lost my grandfather last August. This May, I lost my dad at 48 years old. But you know what they instilled in me? They said, this right here is what you need to be living your life after. And if you do this, if you preach and you teach this word, then your life will mean something.
Amen.
This is what we've got to stand on. Because you're going to be in my shoes one of these days when you don't have a dad and you don't have a granddad and you have nobody in your family that is leading a godly life. But you have to take a stand and say, Lord, as Isaiah said, here am I. You send me. How many of you are available tonight? How many of you are available if God said, I want you to go somewhere tomorrow and witness to somebody? Would you be able to say, Lord, I've got some other things to do? Or do you have the attitude of praise and honor and glory unto Him and say, Lord, here I am. You send me. Solomon asked for wisdom that he might be able to serve. If you're not in church to serve, then we're all in the wrong place.
Amen.
That's the way Jesus said that we need to be leaders, by serving. I see quite a few of them in here, and I'm so happy to see some people giving of their time. Because you know what? All the other time we spend in vanity, it's all going to be worthless when we stand before the King of Kings and He measures our lives in the weight of eternity. What are you spending your time on? Solomon went and searched after. He followed God at the beginning. He built the temple. It was the most magnificent place. He said when he prayed, the fire of God fell down in that place, and they couldn't even enter the place because the power of God was so strong. But you know what happened? He began multiplying horses. He began multiplying wives. He began making gold as common as a penny around here. You know what that went against? The Word of God. The rules for the king. Somewhere along the line, he failed to read that copy that he was supposed to have been writing. That's what I want you to see tonight. You're off to a good start. If you're saved and you're in the church and you're serving, you're off to a good start. We've all been encouraged. We've been fired up. We've been overjoyed. We've been in the presence of God and just saturated in His presence this weekend. But you know what? If this is all you get from this place, and you don't pick this up next week, everything we've done here hasn't done very much at all. The only thing will sustain you when you go back home is the Word of God. Amen. The only thing that will empower you as you leave this place is prayer. Getting to know God. So what is a successful life tonight? You might ask yourself that question. Many say that all this stuff is what brings success. But you know, the wisest people in the world tonight are those who fear God. That's the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. He said, don't fear those who can destroy the body, but fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Brothers, sisters, and those that still might be lost tonight in our midst, Jesus is our wisdom. He is our wisdom. He is our Savior. He's the Ancient of Days, the Desire of all nations, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Creator and Sustainer of all things. In Him all things are held together. He's the head of the church. He's at the right hand of God the Father tonight, making intercession for us as a great high priest. He is our wisdom. He is the one that we need to spend our time with. The Apostle Paul, as he said, he gave us credentials in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I had all these things going. But he said, I count all those things but loss, that I might know the excellency of the knowledge of Him, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen. He wanted to know Jesus and to have an intimate relationship with Him every single day of his life. And he said, I want to press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. There's never room to stop. What's a successful life? It's to be saved by God's grace. Amen. It doesn't stop there. God wants us to grow. And as young children, the greatest thing that you can do is to honor your mom and your dad. That is the greatest thing that you can do tonight, if you're still living at home, is to honor your mother and your father. And even if you're out of the home, it's still to honor your mother and your father. They're the authority that's placed over you until you do get married. And I want to tell you, young men, something the Lord taught me for 3 years. He said, you have no right to take the hand of a woman in marriage until you know me first. Until you know the character of God and you understand His Word and all of the things that are written in here, you have no reason to even get married. Because how can I be who I am to be to my wife if I don't know who God is? Said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. Liberally. Yes. Ask God for wisdom. Delight in the law of the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight in it. No good thing will He withhold from them that love the Lord. to those who walk uprightly. Think about these things. Your life is on the line. Sometimes it's scary, isn't it? You don't know where you're going to go. You don't know what you're going to do. That's the reason God is in control. And we look to Him by faith. As Solomon ended his life, Ecclesiastes 12 and 1, he recounted all the mistakes that he had made. And he said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days draw nigh, I believe." Remember now your Creator. I don't want you to make the mistakes that I've made. I want you to do more for God than I could ever dream about doing. And I believe you can if you look to Him and follow obediently. Let's ask for wisdom. Let's ask for wisdom above our years. You know what? Some of the spots that God has us in, you need wisdom beyond your years to be able to handle them. He's ready to give it to you that you might serve others. Jesus is truly worthy tonight. He's worthy of everything I have. He is my life. Is it your life? Is it your life? If you could ask God for one thing, what would it be? I pray that it would be wisdom to know Him and to make Him known. I see in your eyes, we got about 150, 200 people. I know you at least know four people, each of you. That's 800. Those 800 know about four people. That's 3,200. Those 3,200 know about four people. That's about 13,000. How do we make a difference? You and me. Getting to know God and sharing Him with others. May God bless the reading of His Word.